Well, glory. Hallelujah. About 4 years ago, I was serving as an associate pastor at Heritage Fellowship, and Brother Tom Schaefer in Bowling Green called me and said, Pastor Shane, he said, we're in the middle of a 12-week revival with Brother John Harkey, and he has to go back to Hawaii for a conference, and we need somebody to come preach. Would you come preach? And I thought to myself, oh, my God, how am I going to follow somebody that's had 12 weeks of revival? And so I got online, and I watched a couple of services before the week ended, and Brother Harkey had to go to Hawaii. And I was just blown away by the anointing that was on his life. So we went to Bowling Green and filled in while they were gone. And Brother Tom asked me to come back a second time. And I came back a second time. But since then, we have traveled and gone to a couple of meetings that Brother Harkey has been in. And I want to tell you, I don't know if I've met a more humbler, a more gracious couple with the anointing of God on their life like is on Brother Harkey's life. And I've been asking him for a year and a half. We've been trying to get him here for a long time, but his schedule is just so full that it's hard to get him. And but he worked it out for us, and he scheduled us in. He could be anywhere in America today, folks. And but he was gracious enough to give us the time to come and be with us here in Madison, Indiana, this small town, southern Indiana. Felt like God was leading him to come be with us. So it's my great honor as a pastor, great honor as a pastor to introduce to you, Brother John Harkey, as he comes. Would you come this morning, Brother Harkey? Would you honor him as he comes this morning? Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Let's give God a shout of praise in the house. Let's give God a shout of praise in the house today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You may be seated in the presence of God. In just a few moments, I'm going to share the word that God's laid on my heart for you. But I want to give my beautiful wife an opportunity to come and share. We are so honored to be here in Madison, Indiana, your beautiful city. And we are so thankful. And again, I want to reiterate what your pastor said, that, you know, you don't want to miss one meeting. I'll tell you why. Because you don't want to miss a God moment. Because this church is in a God moment. And we can't manufacture God moments. We can't make it happen. But when God's people begin to get together, he manifests himself. And I don't want to miss a God moment, because you could be the one that gets touched. And if you're not here, you'd miss that moment. And if you have plans, cancel them. Cancel them. But again, I can't wait to share the word that God's laid on my heart. But I want to introduce my beautiful wife. Now, my beautiful wife, Meliana. Everybody say Meliana. See, they can say it in Indiana, honey. I knew they could. She is from the small nation, a small island in the South Pacific of Tonga. And we actually met over 30 years ago in Hawaii on a blind date. And we just celebrated in December our 30th anniversary. Praise God. And I have something to praise God about today. After 30 years, she's still blind. Come on. Would you give Meliana a hand as she comes?
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Again, it is such a joy and a privilege to be with you guys this morning. Pastor Shane and your beautiful wife and your family, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. And beyond that, it is such a privilege to be in his presence. Such a joy. Such a joy. So I wanted to see if you don't mind. Let's all lift up our hand again. Let's acknowledge his presence here this morning and tell him how much we appreciate him abiding in our midst this morning. Holy Spirit, we just want to say thank you. Thank you, Father, for abiding in our midst this morning. What a joy, what a privilege, Lord, that we can gather together, that you put a longing, a desire, a hunger in our heart that will cause us to wake up this morning, have no other desire but to come into your house and worship you, God. But to come into your house to hear from your word. And come into your house, oh God, and to receive from you, Lord. We love you, God. We worship you, Jesus. We adore you, God. Holy Spirit, you are beautiful in this place. And we thank you, Father. We love you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place, Lord. You come and have your way, Lord. You come and speak to us. Change us again through your word. Lord, we pray for miracles, signs, and wonders. Not for anything else, but to show the world that you are God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray for souls to be added to your kingdom. We thank you, Father. Lord, we just want to give you ahead of time all the glory and honor to glorify your name for what you're going to do this morning, tonight, and the next few days. But not only this week, but to continue on to do in this church, in this town, in this state, and in our nation, Lord. And we thank you, Father. We love you, we bless you, and we worship you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let's give Jesus a big hand clap. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. It's always a joy and a privilege to be in his presence. Amen. I remember when I grew up in a little island of Tonga. It's a little island in the South Pacific. It's right by Samoa and Tahiti. And when I grew up, I found out about what happened to my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather was one of the very first born-again Christian in my little island. He gave his heart to the Lord through a missionary that came from England, preached the gospel in our little island, and my great-grandfather was one of the very first born-again Christian. And when he gave his heart to the Lord, there was such a passion, a hunger, a love in his heart to expand God's work in our island. So what he did then, he started traveling from island to island, traveled from village to village, started preaching the gospel, building huts so the people can come together and worship God. And out of his passion and his love for God, he got persecuted by the wrong religious leaders. It got so bad, even the king got involved. They started persecuting him, kicked him out from the island of Tonga. They exiled him. So my great-grandfather then, along with his wife and all the children, got on the boat. They have no idea where they're going to go. They went to the ocean and journeyed in the ocean, crying out to God to guide them. And after a few days, 4 or 5 days, they spotted the island of Fiji. So then they went into the island of Fiji, and then my great-grandfather landed there with his wife and his children. He raised his family there. And while he was there, the missionary from England heard about what happened to my great-grandfather. So they journeyed then into Fiji, found my great-grandfather, took my great-grandfather to England, educated my great-grandfather. And my great-grandfather translated the Bible into my language. And I believe that's why I'm standing up here this morning, because there was somebody in my bloodline went after God with everything that he had. In other words, he left a legacy. for his children and grandchildren so they can continue to go after God with everything that they have. And that's why I want to encourage you, parents, grandparents, go after God with everything that you have so we can leave a legacy for our children and grandchildren. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And listen, he did not only leave a legacy for his family, for his children, so now they get to read the Bible and understand God's word, but he also bring a blessing. He also brought change to a whole nation. Now a whole nation got to understand God's word. Amen. Again, our determination to go after God with everything that we have, God's blessing will not only limit it to our family, but our city, our state, and our nation. The change will determine on you and me going after God with everything that we have. Listen, this is not a time to sit back. We know what's going on in our country. This is not a time for us to sit around and play church. Amen. Listen, my great-grandfather could have sit back and complain, God, is this what I got? For going after you, is this what I got for building churches? Is this what I got for preaching God's word? No, he went after God, continue to go after God with everything that he have. Little that he knows that his determination brought change to his family, left a legacy for his children, grandchildren, also brought change to his nation. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Just want to remind you guys, we have some resources in the back, CDs and DVDs, great materials, and I grab a couple I want to give away. I grab this one. It's called Is There Not a Cause? Amen. I just mentioned to you about my great-grandfather. There is a couple things I know about people that have a cause. People that have a cause, they don't have time to get offended. Yeah. They don't have time for that. Their cause is so big. Focusing on what God called them to do. All the little petty issue. All the little petty issue, they have no time for that, because the cause that God gave them, they will see to it. They will put all their time, all their energy, their resources into what God called them to do, and they will see to it that it will be accomplished. Amen. Another thing I know about people that have a cause, they don't have time to entangle in sin. They don't have time for that. They don't have time for that. Because, again, I tell you what, people that don't have a cause, they walk out from church out of offense. Left the people that God assigned them, left their family. Why? Because they don't have a cause big enough to see to it that what God called them to do will affect their family, affect their church, affect their city, and their nation. Amen. Who want this one? Run over here and grab it. Thank you, Jesus. I grabbed this one also. You can run over. Thank you. Whoa, guys, look at it. It's a woman that ran over here and grabbed it. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, I grabbed also this one. It's called School of the Prophets, Learning to Hear the Voice of God. Listen, there is so many voices that many times we can't tell the difference from the voice of God and all these voices. One of the voices I want to point out to you, a few voices I want to point out to you, is our own voice. Many times we go through things thinking it is the voice of God, but actually it is our own wishful thinking, and we got into trouble with it. So we need to be very careful, okay? Another voices I want you to be careful with is the voices of our friends. Sometimes we go through crisis or problems. Our friends come and give us good advice. They meant well, but maybe it is not God, okay? Another voices is the voices of the enemy. Many times it becomes so real, causes anger, and we can't tell the difference. Causes anger, bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness, offense. Many times we can't tell the difference. It causes depression. I hate depression because it destroys people. But the voice I want you to listen to and pay attention to is the voice of God. Always come with peace, joy, love, wisdom. And I want you to listen to that voice, and that is the voice of God. And I'll give you best place that you can hear the voice of God is every time the church door is open. Make sure you are here. Amen. His word says that faith comes through hearing, and hearing the teaching of God's word. Amen. Also, another great place that you can hear the voice of God is through spending quality time with Him in prayers and in His Word. Amen. We have four different sets back there. My husband did a School of the Prophets. I remember he did it during the revival in Bowling Green. We had revival at night, but he did the school. I think it was 2 months, teach on learning to hear the voice of God, and it's available back there. Somebody will be there, and I'll always be there. If you want, whoever want this, come run over here and grab it. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Anyway, give Jesus another big hand clap. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Are you ready for God's word? Are you ready for the word of God? If you brought your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke 19, as we get into God's Word. Before I open the Scriptures and begin to speak, I want to just let you know something. I'm going to entitle this message, Intensifying Our Pursuit. Everybody say, Intensifying Our Pursuit. I believe that we have to understand that we are in a sense of urgency. Not only urgency as a church, but an urgency as a people. And Christianity is under fire. And it's not time to have people come to church and just peek into the sanctuary and says, that's enough of God. I didn't come here to peek in the sanctuary. I came here to get transformed. Now, in this gospel, we know the story of Zacchaeus, and I'm going to lay it out in just a moment. But here in verse 1 of chapter 19, I'm going to read from the New King James Version, and it says these words. It says, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Everybody say, Jesus entered. Now, when God wants to come to a place, He wants to transform the place. But when I read the text, and I see that here He comes into a city, He came to a place, but then He leaves that city. So I got to ask myself the question, why would God enter a place and then leave a place? In other words, why would heaven enter? Why would the presence of God enter and then leave that place? Because let me just say this. If I don't want God to enter into a place and then leave a place. I think the greatest curse would have to feel the presence of God. And then the presence of God no longer stays in that place. And now the presence of God leaves. Are you hearing me? And right now, there's something that's burning on my heart. I don't want the presence of God to leave my nation. I don't want the presence of God to leave Madison, Indiana. I want the presence of God to leave the church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And we need to understand the desperate times of the hour that His presence was on the way out. Why? Not because there weren't followers. because crowds of people followed Jesus. However, there is a distinct difference between a follower and a pursuer. Because I don't want to be a follower, I want to be a pursuer. My approach is so much different than everybody else. The Bible says that Mary Magdalene, it says that while it was still dark, she went to the tomb. Everybody say, still dark. I don't know about you, but how many have ever had some dark times in your life? And how many have ever had some times where you did not know what to do? It felt like everything was caving in on you. You had health issues. You had relational issues. You had issues with sin, issues with all kinds of your life. But here's the thing, what I love about Mary Magdalene. It says, my darkness doesn't hinder my pursuit. Are you hearing me? Because you have to understand the day of the hour. What was the hour? The religious leaders of the day had crucified our Lord. They had not acknowledged Jesus. They had nailed him to the cross. He had died. Roman oppression in the nation. Oppression over the entire place. But Mary Magdalene says, wait a minute, I'm not going to let the outward circumstances of life hinder my pursuit. Now, I can tell you this as well. We know her to be one who had been delivered from seven demons. Everybody say seven demons. Now, if you've been delivered from seven demons, that means to tell us that you had some major issues. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You had some major problems. That means she was probably involved in prostitution. She was probably involved in drugs. She probably was involved in the occult. She was involved in all kinds of sin. But you know what? God came to her and delivered those seven demons out of her. Church, I'm going to tell you something. When you've been delivered out of something, come on, church. Your pursuit of God is totally on a whole nother level than everybody else. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In other words, I can't live without his presence. I can't live without knowing where he is. I can't live without touching him. Oh, geez. I feel like preaching right now. And I'm going to tell you, church, God is raising up this church to be the church in this city that says there's one thing we want to be known of. We may not have it all together. We may not have the greatest worship team or the greatest preachers, but we want to be the greatest pursuers. Oh, come on, church. Because if we're the greatest pursuers, guess what God will do? Oh. Last time I checked, the first person that he appeared to was Mary Magdalene. He's not going to appear to somebody who's just casually following him, but a pursuer he'll show himself to. You see, Mary Magdalene, the story is actually that I'm touching out of that is John 20. I'm going to get back to Luke 19 if the Lord allows me to. But talking about intensifying the pursuit, still dark. In other words, I don't really care what anybody thinks. I don't really care if I get arrested on the way. Oh, come on. Are you hearing me? I really don't care what's going to happen because I'm not concerned about the night. I'm concerned about the light. And because I'm concerned about where he is. Oh, come on, church. And we know the Bible says that when she got to the tomb, the stone was rolled away. Now, church, I want you to understand this. The stone wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out. Because he has a glorified body. The stone wasn't rolled away because the Bible says that he walked through the wall. Come on, church. You know, there is nothing that can stop Jesus from getting somewhere. He's not limited to the natural. He can go through any. He can show up. He can walk through the walls. He can come through the roof. He can come however he wants to. He's God. The stone rolled over that tomb was not going to hinder him. Oh, Jesus. Aren't you thankful that we serve a God that nothing hinders him? Nothing can stop him. Nothing can do anything. No, the stone was rolled away not to let him out, but to let us in. But to let us in. In other words, I'm giving you an invitation to resurrection life. I'm giving you an invitation of what has just happened. I'm giving you an invitation to come on in. Come, oh, Jesus. Now, it's interesting to me that Mary Magdalene, when she's pursuing in the dark, because I see believers going through various issues in their life, various times of darkness. And it's so easy in the darkness, and not just because you've been delivered from seven demons, but there's other darkness in our life. It doesn't matter your economic status or your ethnicity or your background. The darkness tries to cave in on us. And I'm seeing so many believers begin to draw back in the midst of darkness. What they're saying is that the darkness is more powerful than the light. By their actions. Now, I've asked permission to share this story. And I can't say where, but you can look it up. But we go to this church every year. We did a prophetic training and then preached for the church. We had known that the pastor's wife had suffered from depression. And during the meeting, God gave her a tremendous breakthrough. I've yet to hear the testimony. However, you know, the pastor contacted me on the email thanking us for coming. Wonderful letter of being thankful that my wife and I came, along with an attachment on the email. Well, him and his wife was on the Today Show, NBC. The Today Show was doing a special on depression. Church, let me tell you this. We are the most affluent society in this nation, and in the world, rather. Yet why are we the most depressed? Are you hearing me? Because the pursuit of affluence doesn't really make me happy. Oh, come on. The pursuit of materialism, the pursuit of things isn't what satisfies my soul. It's the pursuit of Christ that satisfies my soul. The new car loses its smell. Come on, are you hearing me? The new car always uses its smell. A few years, it'll lose its smell. But guess what? Salvation should never lose its smell. The presence of God never loses its fragrance. Now, you have to understand something. I'm not a doctor, and I understand that there are people that suffer. They have different temperaments, different background. They're going through things. But here's the reality. I don't believe that a spirit-filled believer should be depressed. Amen. Because of what the Word of God says. John said in John 14, 1, Jesus said this. John wrote it. Do not let your heart be troubled. All right, come on. Because guess what I'm doing? I'm preparing a place for you. I'm building a mansion for you. Oh, come on. I mean, this is a beautiful building, but I can tell you it can't compare to what God's building for us. And he says, because, why? Because I want you where I'm at. I want you with me. Now, church, I'm not saying that there are moments when I'm disappointed or somewhat discouraged about how things have turned out. But one thing, it doesn't last. Do you know why? Because I have a God that wants me where he's at. Now, NBC was doing a special. Now, you got to understand, NBC doesn't want to promote the gospel. Are you hearing me? And actually, it wants to put the gospel, the message of Christ, down. And so NBC wanted to do a special on depression, so they went to UCLA in Los Angeles. Now, UCLA was doing a study on depression and having people come, and they had this certain treatment. Everybody say treatment. Let me tell you something about treatment. I hope you didn't come here to get treatment. Church isn't a place where you get your treatment, your little mental massage, your spiritual massage. It's a place of deliverance. It's a place of salvation. It's a place of healing, not just a place for treatment. It's a place for transformation. I become a new person. I don't just get my treatment, and I feel better about myself. So every time I hear the word treatment, I begin, well, no. I don't want to get treatment. I want to get cured. Well, they were doing this treatment on depression. And they would lay the patient down. And they would go over an x-ray type thing, and they would shoot electrons into their brain. You're not shooting anything in my head. I have enough problems. You know what I'm saying? And then they showed this chart, and they said the depressed brain had a red. And then they went through the treatment, there was less red. I'm thinking, where did they make this up? Because you have to understand, modern psychology does not believe in Scripture. They don't believe in the Word of God. And I don't understand why God's people trust somebody who doesn't believe in the Word of God. So NBC goes there because they've had some, apparently it's alleviated some of the depression, and they told the medical doctors at UCLA, we want to do an interview. And so UCLA told them, oh, you don't want to interview the entertainer. You don't want to interview the construction worker or the school teacher. You want to interview the pastor's wife. Now, church, I know that's intentional. To tell the American people, see, she goes to church. See, church don't work. God doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? It's all intentional. So Maria Shriver actually goes to my friend and his wife's house. But before they go to the house, they go to the church. And they show the pastor's wife walking in the church foyer, and she's all happy, and she's joyful. She's greeting people. They show she's hugging people. She's laughing. She's smiling. They show her on the pulpit greeting the congregation, saying a few words. She looks like she's full of the Holy Ghost. And you know what? And that lasts about 30 seconds. And then they said, but the other side. Everybody say, but the other side. Church, can I tell you something? That's why I'm in church, because I don't want the other side. If you got another side, come on, something is wrong here. I don't got another side. Because when I came here, when I came to Christ, I had another side. He got rid of that side. I don't got another side. What I am behind the pulpit is what I am. Oh, come on, church. I'm not happy here and sad at home. I'm not joyful here and depressed at home. Something is wrong with that picture. Something is wrong. Oh, come on, church. That's why we need pursuers instead of followers. Other side. If you got another side today, there's an altar right here. You can get rid of it. We will help you get rid of it. The ministry team will help you get rid of it. The presence of God will help you get rid of it. God's power will get rid of it. You know, I told Pastor Shane this, that I studied this word. It was Friday. You know, how many say that when the Holy Spirit, Jesus said that the Comforter will come? Everybody say Comforter. Now, that's a nice word. That's a nice word when you're in a funeral home. He's a Comforter. That's a nice word when you've lost a loved one. When you're in the hospital, that's a nice word. That's who he is. He's a Comforter. But I dug in to actually find out what it meant. The Holy Spirit, this is the name for the Holy Spirit, the brave one that is standing by. Oh, church, I don't know about you today, but I want the brave one to stand by me. Because if the brave one is standing by me, there'll be darkness all around me. There'll be darkness all trying to attack me. But the brave one is standing next to me. Come on, church. So, they show her, but the other side. And then they switch the clip, and they show her in a fetal position, laying down, all depressed. Shows her taking her medicine and her medication, but the other side of, and then it tells her her name. So then Maria Shriver went to the home and interviewed her. And they're sitting at the kitchen table, and Maria Shriver asked her this question point blank. Has your faith helped you? Great question. Now she's on national TV. Millions of people are watching NBC in the morning, Today Show. And this is exactly what she says out of her lips. She says, all my life I've been told, go to church more, pray more, give more, worship more, serve more, help more. But guess what? I said, and you'll be okay. So do all this, and then you'll be okay. But I'm not okay. And when she said that, it all clicked in my mind. That was the problem. God wants us to read the Bible more. He wants us to fast more, pray more, do all those things more, serve more. He wants us to do that. But church, John Harkey doesn't read the Bible, doesn't pray more, fast more, give more, just so I could get my fix. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Just so I could feel better. Just so I could get some kind of treatment. I come here, I want to read the Bible, pray more, so I can know Him. Because when I know Him, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, church. See, it's out of knowing Him, He delivers me. Are you hearing me? It's out of knowing who He is, delivers me from myself. Because, church, I can tell you this. The Bible doesn't just give you a treatment. It gives you the cure. It gives you the cure. Psalm 42, verse 5, the psalmist is writing, every emotion, every feeling, I love the Psalms, every human emotion is right there. And he says, oh my soul, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? What is that? That's depression. I'm discouraged, I'm down. But here's what he's doing. The psalmist is saying, why am I feeling this way? This is not healthy. Come on, this is not healthy to my spirit, my mind. It's going to affect all my relationships, my family. It's going to affect my destiny, both here and there. Oh, come on. And so why are you feeling this way? Why are you so disquieted within you? What is disquiet? Why is there so much inner turmoil, anger, anxiety, stress, frustration? Why is there inside here? That's not God. So what's the problem? Stressed, anger, depressed? Why? So the psalmist doesn't just stop at this. He then gives me the antidote. Oh, come on. It's not a pill form. It's in truth. Because if truth is not your antidote, then what will happen, we'll take the pill of the lie. Come on, church. But when truth is my antidote, I take the word of God and apply it to my heart, because this is what he says. Yet, he says, but put your hope in him. Yes. Oh, come on. My hope isn't in me. My hope isn't in how I feel. My hope isn't in what somebody says about me. My hope is in him. And then it says, yet I will praise him. Everybody say, yet I will praise him. Now, church, I came all the way from Hawaii, Woviva Bowling Green, to tell Madison, Indiana, yet I will praise him. And I tell you something right now. I have never seen somebody praise God and be depressed at the same time. I mean, because you could be locked up in a prison cell. Come on, church. Are you hearing me? You got beaten and bruised when you came to church. Come on, church. They didn't receive you. They didn't like you. But Paul and Barnabas didn't say, ask the warden to send the psychologist, give us a pill right now. We're not feeling good. We went through all this turmoil. You know what they did? In chains, the Bible says, they began to sing hymns and praises unto God. Oh, come on, church. I'm going to tell you something right now. God wants to change the atmosphere in Madison, Indiana. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's got to be one church. I may be in chains. I may have some issues. I may have gone through some stuff. I may have some wounds. I may have some bruises. But there's one thing I'm going to do. I'm not going to sit there and meditate on my wounds and meditate on my bruises and meditate on my chains. I'm going to do something about it. Do you know what? You understand that we're the ones that control this atmosphere. The devil is not in control of the atmosphere. The government is not in control of the atmosphere. I can tell you who's in control of the atmosphere. It is his people. It is God's presence. And we're responsible for our own fire. Oh, come on. Paul and Barnabas didn't sit there. We've lost our flame. Look at this. We forget it. Let's quit. Let's get out of the ministry. Is this what we get? Because here's the thing, church. You know, when I go to church, people usually put me up. They pick me up. They feed me. They give me a love offering. They treat me very well. When Paul and Barnabas went to church, they got a whooping. They got a whooping. Come on. Are you hearing me? I can understand. I mean, who wants to graduate from Bible school and then get a whooping? You know what I'm saying? I would have said, oh God, I didn't sign up for this. This is not what I signed up for. Not Paul and Barnabas. My wounds, my bruises, the chains, the prison doesn't change my pursuit. Because if something is changing your pursuit, then you're pursuing what that. That makes sense? Because every one of us in this room is pursuing something. But are we pursuing something that's eternal? Are we pursuing something that's temporary? Are you hearing me? Because Paul and Barnabas didn't sit there and said, you know what, let's just stop our pursuit. It's just not worth it. Let's shut everything down. Let's close the ministry. Forget it. You know why? Because they weren't in chains. Now, in the natural, they were. But in the spirit, they weren't. Yet, everybody in that prison cell, including the people that put him in there, including the warden, including the guard, including they were the ones that were really in chains. Are you hearing me? And they understood if we don't pursue God, then all these people in this prison are going to remain in chains the rest of our life. You got to understand, church. You got to understand, this is why we got to pursue God. We're not pursuing God for just us. I'm pursuing God for this city, because the city's in chains. Come on, church. The city's in chains. I hope families are in chains. You know what I'm saying? They're in chains. I was in chains. But I'm going to say this to you. There is a motive. My motive is not just I'm pursuing God because I need something for him. I'm pursuing God because people are watching me pursue. My son, who will be with you, be with us on Thursday with his beautiful wife, Maddie, my daughter-in-law. They have 3 children. I have 5 grandchildren. And my oldest, Kayala, who's 6 years old, the other night, last Friday night, she didn't want to go to the kids' church. She wanted to sit with Grandma and Grandpa during the service. Well, when altar ministry began to happen, Meliana told Kayala, "Sweetheart, I want you to sit here and just wait because I'm going up to the platform to help Grandpa." And Kayala turned to her grandma and said, "Grandma, I can't sit down. I got to go help Grandpa pray for the people." Now, I did not know this. People are lined up being prayed for and being prophesied to and ministered to. And all of a sudden, I look down, and there's a little hand laying on everybody. Now, church, I can't make a 6-year-old do that. I cannot make that. But here's the thing. Why did she do that? Why? Because Grandma and Grandpa made a decision to pursue God. Not just peek in the sanctuary and say, "Sunday morning's enough. Oh, come on, church." They said, "I pursue God so that I have a whole generation that's raised up to pursue God." Oh, Jesus. I'm sure that Paul and Barnabas were saying, "You know what? No, we don't like the wounds. No, we don't like the chains. We don't like it, but we're not going to sit here and have a conversation about it. We're not going to go to UCLA to get treatment to feel better." Let's do something that's never been done. Let's do something eternal, not something temporary. Because we can get mad because our rights have been violated. Whose rights haven't been violated? You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying we go around violating people's rights either. We should never do that. We don't have permission to do that. But here's the problem. It's my rights. I want my rights. I have one right. Here's my one right: to worship God. That's my right. My one right is to worship God. And I'm not worshiping God as I'm trying to vindicate myself, defend myself. I'm not worshiping God because I'm too busy fighting for my rights. Because here he could have sat there, "Hey, Paul and Barnabas, let's fight for our rights." You know what? When you start fighting for yourself, God is not obligated to get you out of your chains. You know. He is not obligated to get you out of your chains. But when you say, "You know what? The Bible says at the midnight hour." When it looked like they're going to spend the night in prison. Oh, come on, church. When it looked like it was all over, said, and done, that Christianity, the gospel, the message is going not to have any fruit in that city. The Bible says that at the midnight hour, Paul and Silas began to sing praises and hymns unto God. Oh, come on, church. I can imagine God looking down. I can imagine him looking down and saying, "Oh, you're not depressed. You're not discouraged. You're praising me. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to do something you never saw me do before. I'm going to jump into your prison. I'm going to jump into your chains. I'm going to jump in your cell." I'm not going to only shake you. I'm not going to only shake your doors off. I'm not going to only shake your chains off. I'm going to shake everybody in this city off. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Church, I'm going to say this. Pastor mentioned it. We were in Bowling Green 4 years ago, 19 weeks. 19 weeks, that's 4.5 months. I went there for 4 days. Turned there 19 weeks. You know what happened? The newspaper came 3 weeks into it. Why? Because Jesus was healing so many people. Cancer, Crohn's disease. You know Crohn's disease? You know what? You die from that. A lady got diagnosed with Crohn's disease, written document, comes up for prayer. The power of God, Jesus touches her. She's still alive today. A member on fire for God. Church, let me something happens when we start praising God. Something shakes in the atmosphere. Those that pursue God change the atmosphere. Those that follow God don't change the atmosphere. Followers, they'll say, this is what followers will do. Followers say, I guess this is my lot. I'm supposed to be in chains right now. This is my struggle. I'm supposed to live my life depressed now. I'm supposed to live my life with this addiction, with this problem. I'm sorry. Last time I checked, I'm an overcomer. Last time I checked, I'm a conqueror. Last time I checked, I'm above and not beneath. Last time I checked, I'm in the head and not the tail. Last time I checked, I'm over it, not under it. I'm on top of it. Come on, God. It's not on top of me. Come on, church. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. Come on, church. That's where I'm seated. Now, Paul didn't say that when his circumstances were good. He said that when he was in prison. Tied to a Roman guard. Come on, church. Yes. Yes. Pursuers. Now, I got to check my time. But listen. The Bible said that at the midnight hour, they sang hymns and praises to God. He's going, I think I better shake some stuff. How many ever have a prayer like this? God, I want to come to church and just shake me. Just shake it. Just shake everything off. Just shake the chains off. Shake the stuff off. Just shake it off. Oh, come on. I don't think the prisoners went to jail thinking their chains are going to come off. They had no idea what's coming. I'm telling you. God is going to raise up this church to such a degree that this city doesn't even know what's coming. They don't even know what is coming. They don't know what's going to hit them. They have no idea. They're maybe locked into their own philosophies. They're locked into their own thought processes. They don't even know what's getting ready to hit them. And they sing, and the Bible says when they sing hymns and praises unto God, God shook that prison, opened the prison doors, and busted the chains. Last time I checked, nobody laid hands on anybody. Are you hearing me? All they did was praise God. And in that atmosphere, they didn't even have a worship team. Oh, they didn't even have a guitar or drums. Come on, church. All they had was two pursuers in the house. I think I got more than two pursuers in the house. Salvation hits the prison. In other words, the officials locked them up, but they couldn't lock them up because God let them loose. You can lock me up. You can label me. You can say all kinds of things about me, but you can't keep me locked up. Church, the stone was rolled away. Not so he could get out, so we could go in. It's time to go in. Church, in a few moments, I'm going to wrap this up, but I just need to tell you this. We're not going to get back to Zacchaeus. I know that. We'll try tonight. One thing I do know is that Mary Magdalene, when she saw the stone rolled away, she ran back. She ran back to the house. I got to tell somebody. The stone's not there. Initially she ran back. She will tell Peter and John that the stone was rolled away. That's what she said. But I want to tell you this. It was between the hours of 3 and 6 in the morning. So it's dark. She ran back in the dark too. Now, I'm almost sure, I believe, that she probably went back to lay down and get some rest. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Lay down. I mean, I'm going to go to sleep now. But sometimes when you don't know where God is, when you really don't know where he's at, you can't rest. There's this divine, what I call divine restlessness. Come on, I got to know more. I got to find out more. And it's not a pursuit of knowledge. It's a pursuit of him. Yeah. Are you hearing me? It's not just that I want to know what's happening to him. I want to know him. Because a lot of people know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. You follow me? So I believe that she went to lay down, but there was this restlessness. She said, oh, man, my heart's burning. I've got to get up. I've got to search. I love him so much. I can't stay in the bed. I can't stay in my comfort zone. Come on, church. I can't say that. I mean, I praise God for the lifestyle of being comfortable. But, church, this is a problem. This is a problem. Sometimes comfort hinders our pursuit. Because everything is so made for our comfort. So we don't have to pursue God because I'm still comfortable. I pray that God will make us so uncomfortable that we're laying back and forth, tossing and turning. Right? And the host thinks, where is my Lord? Now, Peter and John went there. They looked in. They run back. Mary can't sleep. So guess what? I believe she got out of bed and pursued again. I believe she went on another pursuit. This is the second time. Well, the second time she sees the stone rolled away, she doesn't run away. She goes in. Okay. She investigates it. But listen, folks. When she goes in the tomb, two angels are there. Now, I can tell you this, most of us today, if we walk in the tomb and saw two angels, I'm posting this on Facebook. I'm taking pictures right now, two angels, right? Two angels going on Instagram, it's going all over the internet. Two angels show up at River Valley Community Church. Come on, we got two angels. Oh, wow, all in their glory, all in their splendor. Come on, two angels showed up. But in fact, let's turn there. I know the story in my spirit, but I don't want to chew it up too bad. Look at verse 20, chapter 20 of John. And look at verse 11. It says, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. Her emotions, he couldn't handle it. She couldn't deal with it. I got to look in. I got to find him. Again, whatever I pursue, I'm going to find. I'm going to catch. Verse 12 says, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had laid. Now, church, if I'd have walked in, I probably would have fallen out right there. Boom, two angels. And see, and here's the thing. See, there's a lot of people, they're satisfied with the supernatural. They're satisfied with a miracle. There's nothing wrong with the supernatural, and there's nothing wrong with it. And sometimes in certain circles, oh boy, we got a healing, we got a miracle. And those are all wonderful. Those are demonstrations of a kingdom. We want those things. We want to intensify those things. But listen, I didn't come to the tomb to see two angels. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I didn't come to church just to see something supernatural, to wow me, to surprise me, to open my eyes and say, oh, come on, church. Are you hearing me? Nor did I come to the tomb to have a conversation with two angels. Are you hearing me? Here's the thing. I love this. Then they said to the woman, I mean, now they're not only is she seen, but they're talking to her. Then she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, I do not know where they have laid him. In other words, I'm not interested in you. I'm not interested in two angels today. I'm not interested in anything else. I'm not interested in how you're dressed in white. I'm not interested in your splendor, your greatness. I'm interested in him. I'm interested in Christ. I'm interested in Jesus. Come on. In other words, I didn't get up. I'm not pursuing two angels. I'm not even pursuing a healing. I'm not even pursuing a miracle. I'm pursuing him. Sure, if we get a church like that, oh, man. I mean, I'm not saying that there's not going to be an intensity of angelic visitation and supernatural activity. I believe in that. I love that. But that is not my goal. Because they have taken away my Lord. And I do not know where they have laid him. In other words, when you're on a pursuit, you want to know where he is. You want to know exactly where he is. Listen to this. It says, now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But this is interesting. And did not know it was Jesus. Church, I want to say this to you. Sometimes our life can be so dark that we don't know that he's standing there. Right next to us. Sometimes things can be so difficult that we don't know, we're not aware that the brave one is standing right next to me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes in our emotions, in our brokenness, in our pain, we cannot wreck it through the tears. Come on, I don't see him. That's why I'm not going to be led by my feelings all the time. I got to be led by truth. Because listen to this. Even Jesus talks, and Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? See, the thing about a pursuer is a pursuer knows what they're seeking. You can't tell them, what are you going after? What's your dream? What's your goal? Here's the interesting thing. How many know that Moses saw more of God than anybody else in his generation? Parts the Red Sea, breaks the back of Egypt, brings Pharaoh to his knees. Signs and wonders galore. And then he's in the mountain of prayer. And you know what he says? He says, God, show me your glory. Hey, I'd like to see just a portion of what Moses saw. You know what I'm saying? And yet Moses prays this prayer, show me your glory. Because see, when you've been in the presence of God, you know that there's much, 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 much more than you've ever experienced, touched, or seen. Now, in people in my circles, that around when you hear the word glory, their idea of glory is how many people fell out in the power. Now, that's a good thing. We want you to fall out in the power. Or is there a glory cloud or a certain manifestation that we see? That proves the glory. You know what? Let me just tell you, God already showed Moses more manifestations than many of us will ever see. So it isn't the outward manifestations that he was asking. God, show me your person. Show me your character. Show me your love. Show me who you are. Oh, come on, church. Yeah. I want to know you. What did God say? What did God say? He put him in the cleft of the rock. And he says, I'll allow my goodness to pass by you. Church. The guy that saw more of God, what was going to pass by him? I'll allow my loving kindness to pass by you, my compassion to pass by you, my grace, my mercy to pass by you. I'll allow my character to pass by me and by you. And when the character of my character passes by you, it changes the way you live and the way you pursue me. Are you hearing me? Jesus said, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? She supposed him to be the gardener. She said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. I'll go get him. I don't care if I get persecuted. I don't care if the Romans don't like it or the religious leaders don't like it. You know what? Because let me just tell you, you pursue God like that, you're going to create enemies. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're going to create, you know what? Because people that are following you usually are persecuting the ones that are really pursuing. I'm telling you. I love this. Verse 16. Jesus said to her, Mary. He calls her name. He calls her name. She can't recognize him. But once he calls her name, she turned to him and said, Rabbi, which means teacher. I thought about this. God had not ascended yet. But I'm sure he told the Father, Father, I haven't ascended to you. But there's someone seeking after me that I got to show myself to before I go with you. There's someone that I've got to reveal myself to. If there's anybody here, if there's anybody in Israel that I got to show myself to, it's Mary. Come on. Yeah. Before I ascend to you, because she has to know, because nobody is pursuing me like her. Oh, church. Father, I want to say, I mean, that's where he wanted to go. I want to be back in your glory, where you had before the foundation of the earth. He prayed that prayer, but wait, before I go there, there's somebody I got to show myself to. Oh, Jesus. You know what? I love what he said. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me. Well, what do you mean? You're letting me hold you. In other words, he's not telling her to, he let her hold him. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and to your God. So guess what? He allowed her to hold him captive. That is an awesome thing right there. That we actually get to hold God captive for a second. Because when we come face to face with the one that we love, we can't let him go. And here's the interesting thing. Mary became the first person that Jesus appeared to. Because when you're a pursuer, here's what happens. You tell everybody, he's alive. Lift your hands toward heaven all over this room right now. Father, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet and it's a light upon our path. We thank you right now for what's going to happen right now in this room, right now in these next few moments. We thank you for this word. We thank you that you're raising up a generation of pursuers in this room. They're going to pursue you with everything that they have. You can put your hands down right now.
Hallelujah. Don't you appreciate Brother Harkey? Aren't you glad that he's come by our way? Hallelujah. We want to invite you back tonight. Again, he'll be ministering tonight. He'll be ministering all week. So if you need minister to, you know, there's going to be plenty of opportunities for him and Meliana to minister. And you all know why I love him so much. I just love his humility and his love for people. And this is going to be a good week for this body and this church. I appreciate your faithfulness. Bring a covered dish tonight. We'll fellowship after the service. But let's just stand and just dismiss in a word of prayer this morning. You may want to come early and pray. Sanctuary be open. You may want to come early and pray for the service. And bring somebody with you. Bring somebody that has a need with you tonight. It's really going to be just an incredible time together. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the gift of the prophetic. We thank you, Father, for Brother Harkey, his ministry, his pursuit for you. Thank you for the challenge today to pursue God. We just don't want to be followers, but we want to be pursuers. And so, Father, give us the heart that Mary Magdalene had and her desire to see Jesus. Pray that when we leave here today, God, that the heart of a pursuer would come upon us and that we would just press toward God, not allow our circumstances to stop us and to keep us from pursuing God. We thank you for the word and all that was preached, all that was given prophetically. We seal that with the promises of God. And so, Father, we thank you this morning. We rejoice in Jesus, and we thank you for the presence of God. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's saints said, amen. Give God some praise. Amen.